Anyway, it's been an eventful week in so many different ways. You might remember on Monday that something happened or didn't happen, depending on the thickness of the clouds, wherever you happen to be. We were home watching, and just for a brief second, the clouds parted just enough for us to see a part of the eclipse from where we were. But for the most amazing thing for me about Eclipse Day was the amount of traffic in Bethany, Missouri. I've never seen anything like it. Just never. I couldn't believe how traffic was backed up every direction. And when I was coming out here, and you could see on I-35 just as far as you could see, bumper to bumper to bumper all the way. And so I thought, well, I'll fool them. I'll go home by Eckerd's. Same thing. It was just incredible. I couldn't believe how much traffic there was. But if another thing, if my obsession with dates and milestones bothers you, I apologize, but Wednesday, August 23rd was the 41st anniversary of my very first day of teaching, and yes, I know you weren't born yet, and I was very nervous, and I was woefully unprepared, but there are things and there are people from that very first day that I absolutely will never forget. And it just happened that my first year of teaching happened to overlap with the last year of a veteran teacher at Ridgeway, Miss Nina McIntosh, if anybody happened to know her. And she was just one of the calmest and most peaceful ladies I've ever known. And she was in absolute total control of her classroom, and the kids loved and respected her. And one day she and I were visiting, and she was giving me encouragement. And she told me she prayed for me every day. And I've never forgotten that. I was a Christian at the time, but I wasn't walking with the Lord, and it was just such an impression upon me to know that someone prayed for me, and I appreciate Jody's testimony there. And then this past Friday was Dad's birthday. It's the first August 25th in 98 years that he hasn't been here. He was the last of a generation in our family, and I've been kind of mired in the past ever since he's passed away these last few months. And so in the midst of all this, God has literally bombarded me with Psalm 46. And it's been a while since he's done that. A lot of times it'll happen, but it's been quite a while. And over again, I've been confronted with that passage. I've seen other people posting things. One of my college roommates is fighting cancer, and lately the news has not been good for him. But he's fully trusting in God. And his wife shared Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." And for me, that was the final confirmation. In any case, all of those things, the first day of school 41 years ago, dealing with the loss of a parent, other struggles that I've encountered, have shown me again that God is a very present help in times of trouble. And sometimes we kind of ignore the fact that he's there, but he's there. For those of you that had a good view of the eclipse. Did anybody see a good view of the eclipse? Did anybody go anywhere else and see it? Good. Hallelujah. Because it's going to be it won't be 99 years this time, just 7, I'm told. But one of the things to me is an eclipse is an amazing thing. The moon is 1/400th the size of the sun. And yet, it can block the sun. And I think that's incredible. In all the vastness of space, it's just incredible, again, to think that there's a time that comes when the sun and the moon and the earth align just perfectly for all that to take place. And I've heard people talk about how amazing science and astronomy is. Well, I think it's amazing how majestic and powerful God is, and that's what we need to cling to. Be still and know that he is God. He is to be exalted. We're going to look at Psalm 46 today, the entire chapter. I'm going to ask if you would and are able, and if I'm able to speak, we'll read through this. Psalm 46, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, this is a passage that we might refer people to who are struggling with tragedy or illness. And as I look across the congregation this morning, I see many of you who have struggled with these things just in the recent past. And even though it's something that we refer people to when they're going through a very difficult time, it really is a beautiful promise in all seasons, all times of our lives. And again, the eclipse kind of reminded me as I stood there watching for it that I need to be still and watch for and listen to God, listen for God. Verse 1 again says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In recent months, I've heard many different things referred to as our strength, and some will say that our strength is in the number of troops available for deployment or the number of nuclear weapons that we have at our disposal. Others will say our strength is in money or the stock market and different things of this nature. But as Christians, we need to know this. Our strength, any strength that we have, comes from the Lord. He is very present. And I don't know how you can, you know, you're either present or you're not, but he's very present. He's always there. And we know that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I know that there are also times that we may feel like in those depths of despair that he has left us. He's nowhere to be found, but he's there. Isaiah 41:10 again says, fear not. This is God speaking to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I think most of us, despite the fact that we've gone through great difficulties, we probably have a testimony, at least one, of how God has proved himself capable, proved himself able, proved himself very present. And I know that there are things that I would have never gotten through without his very presence and without his help. I also believe that there are times that God has protected us that we don't even know about. There are times that God has shielded us from harm. And I believe when we get to heaven, we'll see those times and we'll recognize how very present he was in the midst of things that we didn't even know when we needed to be protected. Verses 2 and 3, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Of course, most of this was completed before Hurricane Harvey hit there in Texas. And I just thought about that. Though the waters roar and be troubled, and there's certainly waters roaring and troubling down there. I've heard maybe as much as 52 inches of rain. Can you imagine? And it's just incredible. Well, here in these two verses, there are all kinds of fearful things that it's talking about. You know, the earth removed and the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring. And I think about this. Everybody has fears, I think. Maybe somebody isn't fearful at all, but for some, you know, it might be snakes or spiders, maybe storms, maybe the fear of being alone. Whatever we fear, we need to remember this. He is a very present help, and we should not fear, even if the earth is shaken and even if the waters roar. Now, it'd be hard for me to go down to Houston today and say, never fear. The Lord is with you when the waters are rising and the winds are blowing. It's probably easier to read this verse and believe it when you are not in the middle of a hurricane or an earthquake or some other tragedy. But here's the deal, believers. Even if we as believers would be swept away or swallowed up, he is a very present help in trouble. And our help may not come on this side of heaven, but he is a very present help. My greatest fear, most of you know, is heights. I can't explain it. It doesn't bother me to fly. I went parasailing on a 1,000-foot rope. It wasn't 1,000 foot in the air necessarily because it kind of trails off, but it didn't bother me a bit. But I can't even watch a video of Linda and Fred Kemp driving down a mountain road. It just absolutely paralyzes me. And the thought of walking across Royal Gorge Bridge, no way. Absolutely no way could I do that. And I know it doesn't make sense. And that's what fear is all about. Fear is irrational. It doesn't make sense. I think about this from the many times that I've watched Saving Private Ryan. Would you have been frightened to be one of the first soldiers off the boat at Normandy Beach? Even though thousands died that day, God was with those who trusted him. And as soon as they took their last breath, they were with him. He's a very present help. And you know, I say later here, but if you were on one of those boats on Normandy Beach on June 6th of 1944, and you weren't afraid, there's something wrong. I mean, that's something that would definitely bring fear into your heart. But I want you to notice that throughout this whole passage, nowhere does it say that God will keep bad things from happening. It doesn't say that. It says he'll be with you through them. He'll watch over you and protect you. But it doesn't say he'll keep us from going through difficult times. And so many times when people do go through difficult times or great tragedies, and they start thinking, how could God do this? He's there with you through it. You know, when Moses confronted Pharaoh back in Egypt, saying, let my people go, when Elijah faced the 400 prophets of Baal and they were trying to get their God to call down fire and burn up the offering, and it didn't happen, but when he did it, it did happen. When Shadrach and all of his friends were confronting the fiery furnace, in each of those situations, God proved himself to be more powerful than the forces of evil. And we've still got the same God. We've got different ways that the forces of evil may attack us today, but we've still got the same God who is prepared and ready and willing to help us. Now we might wonder, God, why don't you just end all the difficulties? Why don't you just stop all the evil that's in this world and let us all live this rosy life of perfection so that we won't have to worry about these things? Well, God can use our struggles, and I think we all know this, to grow us into something better than we ever could have been without them. God uses struggles sometimes to make us into a different person. Verses 4 through 6 tell us about the river of the city of God. And, you know, a stream sounds pretty peaceful after hearing about the roaring waters in verse 3. Some people think that in this passage he's talking about the church. Whether he is or not, I want you to know this. God's church, this church, should be a refuge for people. They should be able to come here. And I know we've hit on this a lot lately, but when the news is more than we can handle, whether it's the national news or whether it's something that happens locally, when the eclipse of a lifetime is blocked by clouds, when everything in the outside world is depressing and scary, the church should be that stream of refuge. We should be a place of peace and calm. God should be in the midst of this church. And if the church can't say that, it shouldn't be a church, quite honestly. Now, others say that these verses are about our heavenly home. So again, when the pressures of this life seem to be too great, think about what awaits us as believers where there are no sorrows, no tears, no pain in heaven. Verses 8 and 9. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. So one of the things that we need to consider when we're in the midst of those trials is, think about what he's already done for us. Think about how many different times he's proved himself. And I know right now today, there's a lot of concern, although it's been kind of pushed to the back burner with all the other news going on. But there's a lot of concern about a certain dictator in a little tiny Asian nation. Does he have the capabilities of destroying America? I don't know if he does or not, But I do know this. God can make wars cease. It tells us that right here. In the time that this particular psalm was written, the weapons of mass destruction, I guess, were somewhat limited. They had bows and they had spears, and chariots were the big deal. Anybody who had chariots was right up there as far as weaponry goes. But we know from the book of Exodus what God can do, even to a mighty chariot. He can swallow it up. God has the power to overcome any weapon that anyone can throw at us. He doesn't, again, necessarily promise that he will overcome them or stop them completely, but he does promise us he'll be with us through those times. One of the things that I think it's important to note that God uses our struggles and our trials for comes from another one of my favorite verses. It's 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. And this is a shortened version of it, but here's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the part that I want you to hear. Who comforts us in our tribulations that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And what that means is sometimes we go through a trial or a difficulty, and then when somebody else is going through that same trial, we can help them because we've been through it. And that's exactly what that means. We should be prepared to help others. God uses our struggles to prepare us to be a comfort to someone else. The next verse is the one that probably most people are familiar with from this psalm, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted, praised among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. One of the things that I think about from time to time when we read that verse and it says to be still and know that I am God, that seems a little contradictory to some of the other passages that we're all familiar with. You don't need to look these up, but John 13:17, Jesus said, now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. James 1:22 that we just covered in our evening study, when James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19, just real simply two words, says, go, therefore. So on the one hand, we're told to be still and wait on God. On the other hand, we're told to do something, go somewhere, be active. And so many times, that's the case. One of the funerals this past week that I was privileged to be a part of, I used Ecclesiastes 3. And whether you know it or not, you know this passage. It's the one that says that there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. There's a time to take action. There's a time to go, to do, as he tells us in so many different places in his word. But there's also a time to be still, to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we just need to sit back and say, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do before we try to do it? In the midst of our greatest struggles, the temptation that I have is to get something done, to do it now. I want to get it covered. I want to get it taken care of. But we should be still sometimes and wait for the very present help that God offers, and make yourself aware, make myself aware, that nothing that I can accomplish apart from him is worth doing. Nothing. God will be exalted. He will be praised. Much of the world today doesn't even acknowledge God. But there's coming a time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We can exalt, praise, and acknowledge him now, or we can wish that we had later. And then this is just a final reminder. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now this psalm started with God being our refuge and our strength, and it ends same way, with affirming that he is with us. He is our refuge. He is our safe place. He is a very present help. You have a safe place? Do you think about that? You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I used to have a plan for nuclear attack, and I kind of pushed that out of my mind for the last 25 years or so. And you think about it, I've got a place where I can be safe from attack, or I can be safe from if somebody who comes into my home, that kind of stuff. Even if the earth is removed and the mountains crumble and the seas roar, He is our safe place. He will always be our refuge. So I want to ask you today, in these difficult times that I know all of us have gone through, maybe you're going through, take a deep breath, step back, and be still for just a moment and recognize that He is God, He is in control. And if He's not in control, I want you to reflect on this also. Who is in control? Who would you want in control? Yourself? Our president? Me? No. Let God be in control. Let Him be the very present help that He promises us He will be. If you've never made the decision to accept the Lord as your Savior, maybe you don't feel His presence as often. And quite honestly, He's telling us here that He is present for those who trust in Him, for those who believe in Him. We need to make sure that we're ready anytime for Him to come back. And I pray if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, this would be the day, this would be the time, so that you could know that He is your help in times of trouble. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You right now for being such a present help in all of our troubles. Lord, I know that You are with us. I know that You seek to lead us. And I know, Lord, that sometimes we're very reluctant to follow, or we know that You're there, but we don't like where You're taking us. And I just pray, God, for each one of us here today, that we would recognize You are our refuge and our strength. You are our help. And I pray, Lord, that we would not try to take control of all the different situations in our lives, Lord, that we are confronted with. I know that there's tragedy. I know that there's sorrow. I know that there's difficulty. But, Lord, we need to trust You. We need to be still and know that You are God. Lead us, Lord, and more importantly, help us to follow where You lead. Lord, if there be one here today who's never accepted You as Lord and Savior, let this be the day that they begin that journey of following You. I do pray, God, for the rest of us, for those who know You, that we could really trust You, Lord, and stop trying to take back control from You. I love You, Lord, and I thank You so much for the blessings that You've showered upon us. And I pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.